$100 if you're closer to New York City. So the way that that program works is that you would go through the website and you get reimbursed for what you've paid the doula. It's like for your gym reimbursement or something like that. But for Medicaid, we would actually get our own NPI numbers as doulas, as providers, and we would directly be billing Medicaid for services. I believe in the pilot program, you can bill for 4 prenatal meetings, the labor and birth support, and then 4 postpartum meetings. So they all have their own codes.
And what do you hope will be the results of the hearing?
I'm hoping that through the testimonies given by doulas that they understand the value of what we do and how we really do catch things. You know, in this country, you see your doctor every month, then every 2 weeks, and then every week, and then you have your baby, and then we say goodbye, we'll see you in 6 weeks, and you have a mother who may have some medical needs, maybe even isn't supposed to lift anything heavier than her baby or go up a flight of stairs because she's had a cesarean section. And we're not seeing them until 6 weeks postpartum. So doulas are in the home seeing people and we catch things. I mean, I've caught my clients having fevers and, you know, having like passing clots and things that really needed attention. And they're busy caring for a newborn, trying to keep a baby alive. So their like health is not necessarily the first thing on their mind. But we are looking, we're really holding that mother and holding that family and holding space for them. And we're catching things. So that's really the value of the doula. And we're hoping that this hearing today, they're understanding that and passing it.
I asked Ms. Odeo what her concerns were as her craft entered the formal medical system.
This is not easy work for a doula. We love our families. We love this work that we're doing, but it is not sustainable if the payout rates for doulas are too low. In the way back years ago, when they were first, before the pilot program, they were I think they were reimbursing doulas like $400 for everything, which is just not sustainable. You think about, you know, a doula working in New York City where it's so expensive to live. And, you know, we're only one person. We can't just take tons and tons of clients. Like we are up, you know, on call all the time. We are not sleeping, you know, we're in hospitals for days, sleeping on floors sometimes. So there's only one of us and we can only help so many people. So the reimbursement rate really does need to be something that's sustainable for our work and values the time that we put into each client. Because the reason why doulas are valuable, the reason why we reduce cesarean rates, shorten labors is built on the trust that's built between the client and the doula over the period of time that we're working together. That's a lot of work to build that trust. And it really requires a lot of exposure to the family and understanding, you know, what their needs are, what their individual intentions are for the birth. So I think in terms of sustainability, it needs to be a good rate of reimbursement. And that's on the doula end of things. On the client end, it needs to be something that's easily understandable as to why it could be valuable for them. So it does probably need to come with some literacy around why they might want a doula for a birth, and a lot of outreach when it comes to, you know, basically just saying, hey, this is a service that you can get, you know, for free, basically.
Senator Samra Brooke closed the testimony on Tuesday with a note of optimism.
If you had asked me a year and a half ago if I would be sitting here in front of a room full of people with doulas from actually all over the country, I probably would have said that's probably not going to happen that quickly. But the fact that we are at what I'm deeming Doula Day is tremendous, and it shows that we have the right people in the right positions to finally move this forward on a state level and hopefully to be a model for the states who have not quite figured it out as well as we have. So my commitment to you all is to continue to bring you all to the table, whether you're community-based doulas, whether you're providers, otherwise people who have experienced doula care, because those are the voices that have to continue to inform the decisions we make as policymakers, but also as people with lived experience, knowing what it's like. So our mothers deserve better, our children deserve better, and we're committed to doing better. So thank you all so much.
Reporting for Hudson Mohawk Magazine, this is Moses Nagel.
Thank you. This is Otis M. Carson. I'm from NYC, and you're listening to WGXC Acra Hudson Catskill.
Who listens to radio? That go where you go medium called radio. That's with you every night through the long commuter fight, and in the morning with your toast and mama lady-o. Who listens to radio? No matter if it's summer, winter, spring, or fall. Who listens to radio? Only 150 million. 150 million people. That's all.
Waif Farm respectfully and humbly acknowledges the past, present, and future Indigenous peoples on whose ancestral lands Waif Farm and WGXC operate and broadcast. The Mohicans name themselves the people of the waters that are never still following their arrival along the Great Ebb Tide River, also known as the Hudson. The Mohicans stewarded this land over many generations and in dynamic communication and interaction with diverse Indigenous peoples, including the Haudenosaunee Mohawk and the Munsee Lenape. Mohican descendants today live in communities in Ontario, Wisconsin, and Oklahoma. For more information on Mohican history and the contemporary community of the Stockbridge Munsee Band of Mohican Indians, please visit Mohican.com.
I was just going to lie down for 5 minutes, take a little nap.
Yeah, a regular Rip Van Winkle.
Who?
Another guy who took a little nap, woke up and didn't know where he was.
जो कुछ भी सीखा गलतियों से ही तो सीखा मैंने खुद को संभाला गिर के ही तो उठना सीखा मैंने जब भी बिखरी तो बिखर के सिमटना सीखा मैंने जब खाब टूटे तो उनको पूरा करना सीखा मैंने कभी तो मैं भी नाजुक सी कली थी कभी तो मैं भी बाबा की परी थी रस्तों पे डर डर के ही तो चली थी दुनिया जो कहती थी मानती मैं सही थी पर किस्मत ने जो दिया था वो मुकद्दर में अकेले था चलना जिंदगी के सफर में अपनी मेहनत से आज मैं खड़ी अपने पैरों पे इस जज्बे से आज हुआ खुद पे फखर है असर है ये मुझ पे लोगों की बातों का फर्क है ये सोच और दुनिया की नजरों का दुनिया तो बोलती थी बोलती ही रहेगी हिम्मत का है परवाना परवाज है हौसलों का
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books, youth radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acra, Catskill, and Hudson. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Georgia, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Claire, and I'm from Athens.
I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm also from Hudson. And we're here every week talking about books.
books you love, books you hate, and bookish things.
And that's what we're going to do today, once again.
And we're often joined by our friends Fatia and Amelia, and perhaps they'll join us today. I'm not sure. We'll see. It's a mystery. We will solve the mystery by the end of this half hour.
Yes, we will. Bum, bum, bum.
I think we're excellent detectives.
We are.
We will figure it out. But in the meantime, the main suspense that I am feeling is around what books you both are going to share today. Who would like to go first? That's the other suspense. Who wants to go first?
I don't know.
Looking at you, Georgia.
Okay, I'll go.
The book I'm going to be sharing today is called Linked. It's by Gordon Corman. And I've read Ungifted by him, which was really good. And so this book, I just started it a couple minutes ago while I was waiting for the show. I'm on page 23. And I have to finish it by tomorrow because I'm in a book club at school and I forgot that I was supposed to read it. So I'm going to try to finish it by tomorrow. So I got a lot of work to do. Hi. Hi, Fatia. Fatia just joined us.
Yay. Welcome, Fatia. Georgia is talking about a book that she is reading for her book club at school.
I've read 15 pages and I'm like a seventh through. Wait, no, not 15. I'm on like page 24. Anyways, the point is I'm not very far through. I need to finish it by tomorrow. But if I try, I'm a really, really, really fast reader. So it won't be too hard. I just need to go fast and read a lot, which is not a bad thing. So it's really good so far. And I like that it just jumps right in, because with most books, it like takes a really long time, but it like on the first few pages, it started. Okay, I'm going to read the description. You can't deny something is wrong when it's right there in front of you. Link, Michael, and Dana live in a quiet town, but it's woken up very quickly when someone sneaks into school and vandalizes it with a swastika. Nobody can believe it. How could such a symbol of hate end up in the middle of their school? Who would do such a thing? Because Michael was the first person to see it, he is the first suspect. Because Link is one of the most popular guys in school, everyone's looking to him to figure it out. And because Dana's the only Jewish girl in the whole town, everyone's treating her more like an outsider than ever. The mystery deepens as more swastikas begin to appear. Some students decide to fight back and start a project to bring people together instead of dividing them further. The closer Link, Michael, and Dana get to the truth, the more there is to face, not just the crimes of the present, but also the crimes of the past. So that was Linked by Gordon Corman. I'm only 23 pages in, but based on the description, what I've read so far, it's so dang good. I would totally recommend. Though I feel like this might be better for like 10 and up because it has anti-Semitism and that kind of thing. And it's really interesting that the book club is doing this now, because the book club is like for fifth and sixth grade. But coincidentally, as we're reading this book right now, we're actually doing a unit on the Holocaust in English, because my English teacher is awesome. She's like the best. But anyways, we like are just finishing a unit on it where we read books about it and watched a movie about Irina Sendler, who was a Holocaust hero, and did articles on it. And it was really interesting. So my middle school teacher is the best. Or not my middle school. My English teacher is the best. She's awesome. I don't think she likes me, but I love her. I don't think she likes me, but I don't know.
What's not to like?
Oh, thank you. But I sometimes call out accidentally. But yeah, I don't think she likes me very much, but that's okay. She's awesome. She's everyone's favorite teacher. She's tied for my favorite with my social studies teacher. But anyways, we're not here to talk about school. We're here to talk about books, which is way better than school. So yep, that's it for me.
Sounds like a great book. I still have not read any Gordon Corman.
What? Not even ungifted?
No.
You crazy. It's so wrong. You need to. They're not that long. Yeah. You need to.
I know. I have to pick the right one. The perfect fit.
Ungifted is so good. You should read Ungifted.
Yeah.
And then all of his stuff is good. I've heard, at least.
Well, I hope you continue to enjoy that.
I will. Cool. Thank
how
you.
How it ties in with what you're learning in other subjects.
Yeah, and it wasn't even on purpose.
Yeah. It's cool. Well, thanks for sharing that.
No problem.
Claire, what did you want to share today?
The Kids Book of Chess. I don't think it... Harvey Kinder, illustrated by Kimber Buckchin Root. And it doesn't have an introduction, but it's all about learning how to play chess. What all the pieces are called, what they all do.
Do you play chess?
Yeah, I just got it to learn how to play chess.
Oh, okay, so you're just learning.
I know if I already said this one, but this one is called Seven Blind Mice by Ed Young. And it has a silver Caldecott Honor book.
Yeah, he's a really great illustrator and author.
A really good book. And my mom read it to me. It's really, really good.
What do you think makes it special?
That, like, they all have different colors. All the mice are a different color. And that they took a story and they turned it into something else. And adaptation of something. My mom's probably gonna laugh at because she knows that I know that it's adaptation, not adaptation.
It's a tough word to say sometimes.
Yeah.
You're not the first one to say that word funny. And you won't be the last. So what's it based on? Is it based on three blind mice?
Seven blind mice and there's this elephant. Hmm. I just ruined it.
That's okay, I'll erase my memory.
Zoop. So there's this big thing and all the mice are feeling it and they're like, what is it? What is this big thing? And they all have different things. And the last mouse guesses it. That's the moral of the story. But I also have a bookish thing that I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
A long, long time ago, I invented this game where you make up a story and you have to have two people to play it. One person will be like, okay, here is, we'll give a setting, a main character, and a moral. Then the other person will fill in, will make up the story. Like, if I say, okay, main character is going to be a little squirrel. And that squirrel's name is Tony. And they live in... And the setting is the forest. And the moral of the story is, don't go too far from home. Then, the other person, which I'm going to pretend to be, will make up a story. Okay, so one day, Tony was in the forest and blah, 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 blah. And that's how it works. I just want to say that.
That sounds fun and challenging in a good way. I like games that have storytelling elements.
And I made it up at a train station because we were waiting for somebody to come and they were taking a while, so I just made up that game real quick.
I think I the same thing as Clara did. Like we did that like morals in fourth grade. It was like fun.
Oh, you did a kind of story thing so based around morals.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's lots of great stories that have morals to them. You can usually find a moral in just about every story, but some of them are a lot more like that's the goal of the story is to get this moral across. Well, thanks for sharing all that, Claire. It seems fun. You're learning some chess, learning some morals.
Also, I already read the whole entire book.
Oh, yeah?
My mom already read that.
Is it a good book for somebody that's just starting out with chess?
Yeah, it's a good book for somebody who doesn't know chess.
What if you know some chess, but you're not very good at it?
Yeah, it helps you with skill to walk back. Like after it shows you all like how the out pieces moves, then it shows you like skill stuff.
Cool.
And also gives you skill stuff while it's teaching you things.
Yeah. I could be better at chess. I'm not that good, but I don't play very often. So maybe I should check out that book. Learn some skills. Well, Fatia, what did you want to share today?
I want to share a poem today. It's called Peace. Peace is not sleep of mind, but a form of spirited war, ever warring against lost of merriedom, and the mind lost in stray thoughts, and a fickle heart fat with stray devention. Peace, like charity, starts at home, and is of the nature of conquest. Conquering first decide on evil bent, as the acid test of manhood that no beetle has ever known, no less than war. Peace has its own victories, short of which man has nothing.
What made you choose that poem?
It's because I like having peace, and like so does many other people. So I wanted to share that poem.
Yeah, this is a nice thing. Do you know who that one's by? I don't remember if you said.
No, I don't know who it's by. It doesn't say who it's by.
Okay. Well, thank you for sharing that. I like getting a little poem read each week. So I can talk about my book for today. I read a middle grade chapter book called Fast Pitch. It's by Nick Stone. And it is about a 12-year-old named Shanice Lockwood, who is captain of the Fulton Firebirds, which is a under-12 fast pitch softball team. And she lives in Atlanta, Georgia. And she's the captain of the team. So she's leading her team, hopefully, to the championships. And it would be a historic moment because it'd be the first time an all-Black girls team won the Dixie Youth Softball Championship or Dixie Youth Softball Association Championship. And so it's following her in her quest for that championship, that honor, that award, and recognition. And in the meanwhile, there's also a family mystery. So she comes from a long line of baseball players. So her dad was a baseball player, her grandfather was a baseball player, and her great-grandfather was also a baseball player. And one day she meets her Uncle Jack, her great-uncle Jack, who is her great-grandfather's brother. And he is in a nursing home, and he's getting on in age, and he's not always very clear, but in a particularly lucid moment, he mentions that his brother, her great-grandfather's career was ruined, his reputation was ruined when he was accused of stealing Joe DiMaggio's glove from a charity auction way back in the day. And so between her and Jack, she decides that she wants to clear her great-grandfather's name. And so she goes on a search to try to figure out what happened and right that wrong, you know, in honor of her great-grandfather, who is no longer alive, but she wants to honor him in that way. So it's a mix of like a sports story mixed with a little bit of a family mystery, and it talks about racial prejudice and how that impacted her great-grandfather, you know, and how it's impacting her today in present times. But yeah, it's a really good book. It's not too long. I think it would be good for a pretty wide range of ages. And yeah, by Nick Stone. So that's Fast Pitch by Nick Stone. And yeah, I don't know what age that's suggested for, but I think probably like 8 to 13 maybe be probably the main age group. You have a question, Claire?
Can I see the cover again?
Sure. Our radio listeners can't, but it's got a young woman on the cover. She's got a baseball cap on backwards. And she's got her... Yeah, it says fast pitch, and she's throwing a ball up in the air. She's got her glove. So she's a cool character. I liked her. And you get to know some of her friends and her family. So lots of great characters in there. And then the next book that I'm planning to read, but I have not read it yet, is called A First Time for Everything. It's by Dan Santat, who is probably best known as a children's picture book illustrator, but he's also done some graphic novels. And this is his graphic novel memoir. It's called A First Time for Everything. And here's the description for this one. Dan is used to feeling invisible. After being bullied in middle school, Dan has low expectations about everything, including the class trip to Europe with the same girls who love to make fun of him. But during his travels, a series of firsts begin to change him. First, Fanta, first fondue, and maybe even first girlfriend. Funny, heartfelt, and embarrassingly true, this graphic novel memoir is based on Caldecott Medal winner Dan Santat's most awkward middle school memories. Fun. I want to go on a trip to Europe. Ah, take me. That'd be pretty cool if I'd been able to go on a school trip to Europe in middle school. That sounds super fun. I would have had a blast. If you could go anywhere in the world on a school trip, where would you go?
I would go to New York City.
Yeah.
Or China or Japan.
Yeah. New York City seems like a possibility. Like that's something that could be like a day trip. You could take a bus down, do some stuff. How about you, Fatia? If you could go anywhere in the world on a school trip, where would you want to go with your classmates?
I'll probably maybe go to Turkey or Syria.
Cool. Be fun. How about you, Georgia?
Repeat it again. It went out for a second.
If you could go anywhere as on a school trip in the world, where would you go?
In a school trip or on a trip?
School trip with your classmates.
Well, where I'd want to go alone?
No, with your classmates.
Or with my family? Is like
with your
Berlin,
with
Berlin
your
or
classmates.
Japan. But with my classmates, I guess, I'd say the same, Berlin or Japan. Ooh, France. Berlin, Japan, France, like in the book.
Well, yeah, I want to go to France.
Let's go.
My dad actually lived in France for a couple years.
My mom lived in France for a couple years.
Very cool. I think we should do it. Bound by Books. Class trip to France.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we're just about out of time for today. So we're going to say goodbye. But we hope everyone out there listening has a great week filled with lots of quality reading time.
With Cocoa Puff.
And we'll be back next week
to talk about some more books. Till then, happy reading. Bandy.
any place.